You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sam Munson, lead NFL analyst, Pro Football Focus, joining us right now on this Tuesday morning. Sam, good morning. How's everything?
Everything's good. How about you?
We're great. Thank you so very much for joining us. Okay, do the Steelers... Let's try to quantify this, I guess, in your terms. What's going on with the Steelers' run game? Is there a lot to worry about? And is James Conner a good back or not? Let's go.
I think James Conner is a decent back, but the problem with almost all running backs is those guys are a product of their environment more than they are a product of their own talent. So, you know, the difference between James Conner or Le'Veon Bell or Saquon Barkley or Zeke Elliott, it's all the difference between the offensive line and the run blocking in front of them. And so far, through a couple of games, the Steelers' offensive line hasn't been performing great when it comes to run blocking. So consequently, James Conner hasn't had a ton to work with. I think that's really what we're talking about here. The Steelers have played a couple of teams, Denver in particular, who, you know, did a pretty good job against the run. So they just haven't had the space to work with.
Sam, match that up to what I've seen with my eyeballs. Based on your analysis at PFF, you're telling me the run blocking wasn't that great, and maybe for James Conner's runs in particular it wasn't great, but that would seem to indicate to me when Benny Snell bounces one outside against the Giants and takes it for 20-plus yards, or when James Conner breaks a big one at the end of the game against Denver, that they are creating some holes in the running game. So can you tell me how you've quantified it to this point to say, they haven't run blocked so well?
Yeah, I mean, the PFF grading works on a play-by-play basis. So, you know, 60-odd game or 60-odd plays in a game, those guys are getting graded on a scale for every single one of those plays across the board. So, overall, the run blocking hasn't been great. It hasn't been opening a ton of holes. But the nature of the run game is there's always space somewhere. And sometimes a back is going to be able to find it. Sometimes a back is going to be able to make a move, make a guy miss, get some yardage where there shouldn't be yardage, and make some plays. And overall, sometimes you see that. And those guys are able to break plays, get some yards where the blocking shouldn't really have given it to them. But overall, you know, you just need to look at the numbers that James Conner's had, you know, a little bit over 100 rushing yards, and he's had a little bit over 100 rushing yards after contact. So all of the yardage that he's had is coming basically through his own work. It's not through, you know, the big open holes of the line of scrimmage that used to be there when he had his better seasons or when Le'Veon Bell was playing at his best. You know, then you would be talking about a much more even split in rushing yardage between what the blocking was opening up and what the running back was getting himself after contact.
Is this perhaps a logical deduction that David DeCastro is a super good football player and that they miss him a great deal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, David DeCastro is one of the best guards in the NFL. He's one of the better run blocking guards in the NFL. Guard generally, you know, it's not a high impact, a high importance position in terms of value and how much a single player moves the needle. But when you're going from one of the best in the NFL to a guy who isn't, it's a significant blow that's definitely going to, you know, have an effect on what's in front of them.
Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Sam, how do you quantify the T.J. Watt effect on Bud Dupree and, I guess, the Bud Dupree effect on T.J. Watt? How do you quantify what one edge rusher does for the guy on the opposite side of the line from him?
Well, T.J. Watt is a phenomenal player right now. He had a good argument, I think, to be Defensive Player of the Year last season. Obviously didn't get it, but he was right in the mix. I think he would have been a deserving player. And then this year he's picking up exactly where he left off. If anything, through two games, he's on a slightly better pace than he was a season ago. He's right up there with the best in the NFL in terms of total pressures. His pressure, when it comes, is quick. It's decisive. You know, not all pressure is created equal. Bud Dupree actually has one more pressure than T.J. Watt this season, but his grade isn't nearly in the same area because he doesn't win typically as quickly, as decisively, as convincingly as T.J. Watt does. But when Watt is that good, what it does is ensures that Bud Dupree is never getting extra attention. You know, he's never getting the chip blocks. He's never getting the extra bodies dedicated to protections because those guys have to go towards Bud Dupree as the primary source of pass rush up front. Also, Cameron Hayward is right there. You know, he's picking up again where he left off a year ago as basically the best interior player in the NFL that isn't Aaron Donald. You know, Aaron Donald is in a world by himself for the Rams, but Cameron Hayward was as good as anybody else last season, and he's doing exactly the same thing this year. And then the extra string to the Steelers' bow this season is they're blitzing more than any team in the NFL. I don't know if they looked at what the Ravens did last season. Baltimore was by far the most blitz-happy team in the NFL last season, blitz like 55% of the time. The Steelers were nowhere near that, but this season, so far, they're up at 62%. Baltimore's there at 55% again, but the Steelers have jumped ahead of them, and those two are by far the most blitz-heavy teams in the NFL. So suddenly with the Steelers, you've got at least three guys on the defensive front that are extremely good pass rushers just in and of themselves, and you're throwing a ton of bodies at it with the blitz, and it's suffocating teams right now.
Sam Munson, Pro Football Focus. Let's flip it back to the offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quite simply, is Ben throwing the football too much, or is this what's needed at this time?
I think it's probably what's needed. I think he's playing okay. He's not all the way back to, you know, vintage Ben Roethlisberger, but if ever there was a quarterback that's capable and comfortable throwing the ball a ton, particularly when the run game isn't, you know, clearly taking weight off his shoulders in terms of, you know, being something you can just call run plays, forget about it. You know they're going to pick up a ton of yardage over the course of the game. The run game is being squeezed. It is struggling a little bit because of that line. I think Roethlisberger's fine to have the ball in his hands a ton, and the receiving core is good enough that he can spread it around and pick up yards through the air without putting it at risk.
Sam, let me go back to what you said about Cam Hayward just a moment ago, because I think we don't underappreciate him here in Pittsburgh. We appreciate what he is on the field as well as off the field as a captain for this team. But I think sometimes we lose sight of just how good he is because of all the other talent on that defense. The best interior player in the league who isn't Aaron Donald, does that make that contract extension they gave Cam Hayward before the start of the season a steal, in essence, because they're still getting him at his peak? When would you expect the fall off to happen, and do we perhaps underappreciate Cam, I guess?
Yeah, possibly. It's that sort of second-best interior guy in the league has been like a rotating door for the past few seasons. You know, it's been a guy like Chris Jones for Kansas City. It's been Fletcher Cox from Philadelphia. Last season it was Cameron Hayward. And usually those guys sort of hang around at the top, but they don't exactly repeat what they did. They just have an incredible year. And Hayward's been, you know, at a really high level for a few seasons now, but he does look like he's at least threatening to maintain the kind of level he had a season ago. That makes him one of the most valuable interior players in the NFL. I think the contract is very good value at that kind of performance. As for when you would expect him to drop off, it's kind of interesting. I mean, a guy like Calais Campbell has recently set this precedent of, you know, he had four seasons straight of PFF grading above 90, that elite blue chip level, and all four of them came after he turned 30. You know, Cameron Hayward is 31. He's same. He's having the best stretch of his career. He's playing the best football of his career. And there's no reason to think it will immediately, you know, drop off a cliff anytime soon.
How would you categorize the Steelers in relation to Baltimore? Are they exponentially behind? Are they a little behind? Are they even with? Where is Baltimore in terms of how far they're ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers through two games?
I don't think we know yet. I think the Ravens are clearly one of the favorites, one of the strongest teams, one of the best teams top to bottom in the NFL. And I think it's still an open question about where Pittsburgh is. You know, we've seen obviously what they've been able to do through two games, but they were against relatively weak opposition. We just don't have a good gauge yet, a good barometer on where this team is when they run into the better teams in the NFL. I think we have a fairly comfortable idea of where the Ravens will be. So I think it's encouraging. So, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you, and the Steelers have beaten what's in front of them. They've looked really good on defense. I think that was something that you could potentially predict coming into the season because they just had zero turnover. You know, that entire defensive unit was basically the same as it was a season ago. And in this offseason, of all offseasons, with, you know, no preseason, with a weird training camp, with COVID restrictions, I think having basically no turnover at all on defense was going to be a good thing in terms of letting them hit the ground running. So I think everything's there. You know, the defense is good. The talent is there on offense. The offensive line hasn't been run blocking particularly well, but we know it's a better unit than that in terms of individual talent across the board. You could probably expect that to bounce back at some point. So I think the talent is there for this team to rival Baltimore. We just need to see that they can do that against the better teams.
Sam Munson, Pro Football Focus. Sam, we thank you so very much. Always so great to be joined by you. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll catch up again soon.
Anytime. Thanks.
Really, really
thanks,
great
Sam.
Stuff from Sam. Those are strong words about Cam Hayward from the analytical types in the league. I mean, it's one thing to do the eyeball test. It's another thing to quantify all of that and say that about Cam Hayward. That has staying power, I think, from that interview. And it's something I think you may hear later on in the day and definitely see all over the internet today, Chris. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's again, we don't underappreciate Cam, but I think sometimes we do lose sight of just how impactful he is because of all of the other talent that surrounds him on the D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.